you're not part of the message, have you? The anointing of Saul to be king of Israel, 1 Samuel 10. Then Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on his head, Saul's head, kissed him, and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance?" When you go from me today, then you will find two men close to Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they'll say to you, "The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. Now behold, your father has ceased to be concerned about the donkeys and is anxious for you, saying, 'What shall I do about my son?'" Then you will go on further from there, and you will come as far as the oak of Tabor, and there three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three kids as in goats, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a jug of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from their hand. And afterward, you will come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, and a lyre before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. And it shall be when these signs come to you. Here's the verse the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings. You shall wait 7 days until I come and show you what you should do. Then it happened, when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God changed his heart. And all those signs came about on that day. When they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him mightily so that he prophesied among them. And it came about when all who knew him previously saw that he prophesied now with the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What has happened to the son of Kish, Saul? Is Saul also among the prophets?" And a man there answered and said, "Now, who is their father?" Therefore, it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" And when he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. And there's a lot here, and there's a lot in the rest of the chapter as well. Today I'm going to continue to expand on the vision I received on the 12th of this month, where I heard, and what I heard, the tide is coming in, and I saw a ship coming in with the tide, a blue and white ship with a white sail. For those of you who haven't been here, I'm condensing this. Blue often is associated with depth and stability. Dark blue signifies or represents knowledge, power, and integrity, and it lends itself to symbolically meaning God. And white is considered the color of perfection, associated with light, goodness, purity. Hence, God is behind the incoming rising tide or the move of God. It's an expression of his goodness and his glory. And it's important to trust him for understanding, wisdom, and power, and the revelation that you're going to need as this tide comes in. This was the point that I repented, remember, a couple of weeks ago? This was the point that I did not preach. God said, proceed with the revelation you receive. As this tide comes in, revelation is going to accompany it. God is going to be speaking to you and showing you things. And so it's important to move forward. That's what that word proceed means. Proceed and do something or say something with what God is giving you, what God is saying or showing to you. So number one, from verse one, proceed with the anointing. We have here, and actually if we back up to the previous chapter, 1 Samuel 9, verses 19 and 23, Saul is being prepared to receive the anointing here. He is clueless, just like everybody else, of what's going to take place. And so the prophet Samuel is here, and he instructs him, go to the high place, verse 19, verse 20. For whom, he says, for whom is all that is desirable? Verse 22. And then he gives him a place at the head of the meal, or the place of honor. And he says in verse 24, here is what has been reserved for the appointed time. And then it says in verse 27, I believe, that the word of God was spoken to Saul. Condensing this, there's a lot here, but God and Sam and the prophet Samuel were preparing Saul to receive the anointing. And not just the anointing, because from that point on, his life was going to change. Just like for you, when you do something with the revelation that God gives you, your life will no longer be what it was, because God is going to be instituting or taking you on a journey. As you obey, you will change. As this journey with him goes on, a change comes about so that others will say, isn't that, was that Saul? Is that the Saul we knew? Is that the Roger we knew? Is that the Catherine we knew? I hope that's what they say, because I hope you're going to respond the Holy Spirit of God in this hour. Proceed with the anointing. So here in verse 1, it says he poured the oil on Saul's head, signifying position, power, authority, anointing. And this is how God said it to me yesterday. God appoints and he anoints. Whom he appoints, he anoints. You understand this? This is how it goes. You don't get the anointing first. You get the appointment first. And then you have to respond to what God is doing. That he's appointing you, that he's giving you a task, he's giving you an assignment, something to do, something to say. And once you, in your heart, make that choice of obedience, then the anointing comes. God appoints and anoints his man or woman for their assignment. And God also assigns and appoints or reserves a time, which we heard in 1 Samuel 9, verse 24, a few moments ago. So, for you, my friends, fellow believers, sons of the Most High, daughters of the Most High, Philippians 1:6, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Amplified reads that this way. I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return. Developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. God is not forgetful. He remembers his plan for you and for me. And it's a process. There's that word again. And he expects us to keep in pace with him during each step in the process. And as we respond, as we rise in faith, as we obey, that anointing that accompanies that which God is desiring to do is released in us and through us. And also Romans 8:29-31 speaks of this. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these also he called. And whom he called, these also he justified. And whom he justified, these also he glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us, or who can be against us? And so this is a process of God's purposes being fulfilled in us, and he gives us that anointing, which we can also call grace, because we're going to need that grace to walk in that which he plans and purposes for us, because it's going to, in the process, instill the very character of Jesus Christ in us. And that, my friends, is what people are going to notice. They're going to notice something's different. Something is happening in your life. So the second thing here that happens in verse 1 is that Samuel kisses Saul. Gives him a great big smooch. And this speaks of two things. Honor, because he's just spoken that he's going to be the king of Israel. So honor and submission. But the kiss also speaks of intimacy. And so God anoints you so that you can experience a deeper measure of him, what we would call an intimate experience with him. So the commentator, Matthew Henry, likens this happening here to kissing the Son, capital S. So we need to experience the anointing, not for the goosebumps. Those feelings are great. That experience is exciting. and refreshing. But it's not for the goosebumps, but so that you are changed by his presence, changed to be more like Jesus, and that you would get a deeper revelation of him and his purposes in you, in your life. You know, this whole counsel of God is amazing. And do you ever say to God, why me? Why did you choose me? Why did you save me? Why am I to preach your gospel? And yet the scripture tells us he knew us before we were born. Those very purposes and the anointing that goes with the fulfillment of the call of God on each and every one of you was available and in God's thinking before you in the natural came on the scene. I just can't fathom that. That's the God I love and serve and know. So secondly, in this proceeding with the revelation you receive, proceed with the witness of the Holy Spirit. Verses 2 and 4 in particular, 2, 3, and 4. It shows us that two men, verse 2, you're going to meet two men. Two means witness in the scripture. References witness or establishes an event as fact. Well, it's establishing the event in verse 1 that he was anointed king of Israel. It wasn't for God's sake that he did this as a witness. It was for Saul's sake, because Saul did not know what on earth was going on. Who am I? And there's a whole exchange there. I'm the least of the from the tribe of Benjamin, the least of the tribes, and so forth. And my family is the least of the families from the tribe of Benjamin, and so forth there. So two men will tell him, will approach him and tell him the donkeys have been found. Don't be concerned about that. Your father's more concerned about what happened to you. And he is really going to be concerned when he sees the difference in a very short time in his son, Saul. So two men approach him. Then we have the whole scene where there's three men, three kids, or goats, three loaves, and a jug of wine, totaling seven things, seven being the number of completion. God is once again using this whole scene to confirm or be a witness to Saul and to others of what has happened, or what he has done. And the two men say, and I was struck by this, this one's for you, Barb, the donkeys have been found. To don means to put on or envelop oneself. And the keys are what you need to proceed with the revelation. So you put on the keys, you don the keys, so that you can walk out the revelation that God gives you. The donkeys have been found. Are you seeing this silly little setup? I thought it was silly too, but you're going to get what I get. Proverbs 9:6. Proceed in the way of understanding. Or, paraphrasing, proceed with the revelation or what you learn from the revelation that God gives you. Galatians 5:16. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Likewise, Romans 8, 14 and 16 talk about being led by the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit bears witness. I want to go and go back to that verse. But all, Romans 8, 14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, daughters of God. And verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, sons, daughters of God. So proceeding with the witness of the Holy Spirit, we need to cultivate intimacy with Holy Spirit and do and say as what he reveals as he guides us along in this process as we proceed along with the revelation that God is imparting through Holy Spirit. Number three, trying to move fast here. Proceed with prophetic, with the prophetic and with his presence, verses 5 and 10. The principle of presence, what I'm calling the principle of presence, is Exodus 33, 14 and 15. God said, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Moses responds, if thy presence doesn't go with us, don't lead us up from here. That's what I'm calling the principle of presence, following the presence. Because the presence, verse 18 in Exodus 33, it says that his people may be distinguished or separated or set apart or distinct by the presence of God that goes with us, or the anointing that we carry with us. It says there in verse 10, the Spirit of God came mightily or rushed upon Saul in a very noticeable and evident way. And the Holy Spirit will endorse or validate you and the gift of God in you as you partner with him and the Father's plan for your life, as well as each piece or part of that plan as you walk in obedience in the Spirit. John chapter 3, 33 and 34. He who has received his witness has set his seal to this, that God is true and truth, my comment. Verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. I don't know about you, but that's an exciting verse for the believer, that he gives the Spirit without measure. You can never get as much of the Spirit as God has to give you, because you'd explode. You couldn't contain what the essence really of who God is. So he gives it to you in portions that you can handle. Right? Can you handle it? No? John 16, verse 13, the Holy Spirit will guide you into truth. And what he hears and speaks, he will share with you. He will give you the revelation of what the Father speaks to him. John 16, 13. So, Saul prophesied among the prophets, and the Amplified said he spoke under divine inspiration. Same sense that happened in the book of Acts 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance or the ability to speak out. Now the key here is the Holy Spirit gives you the ability, but you've got to enter in. Whether it's speaking in tongues or responding in kind to the direction or the revelation that is provided to you. So prophesying or being prophetic is simply speaking what God through the Holy Spirit speaks or what the Holy Spirit shows you. That is prophetic. You don't have to hold the office of prophet to be prophetic or to prophesy. You simply communicate that which God through the Holy Spirit is communicating to you. It's not complicated. But it does require paying attention and obeying. Point number four. I love this one. Proceed with fresh fire. From verse 6, 11, and 12. Samuel tells Saul, "You shall prophesy with them," with the prophets, "and be changed into another man." So, the dynamic here is when Samuel speaks this, the anointing, the faith, the provision for that word from God to come to pass in Saul, soon to be King Saul. Because he imparted faith in all the provision when it was spoken. And so in verse 11, it says, "Those who knew Saul previously said, 'What has happened to the son of Kish?'" In other words, this is not the Saul we knew or know. This is a different Saul. And I hope that's what they say about you and I. When we come under the anointing, when we enter into the revelation that God gives us and obey and say and do that which he requires of us. So I looked up a song by Don Moen. Some of you know who he is. Rich certainly does. Song called Fresh Fire. Fresh fire, let it fall. O God, hear our call. Send your spirit like a rushing wind. We need fresh fire. We are hungry, we are thirsty, crying out for more of you. Lord, we are desperate for your mercy. Let us burn to know the truth, your truth. Light a flame in us now. Send your holy fire down. We have left our hearts unguarded. We confess we've walked away. Lord, take us back to where we started, where we first found love and grace. Light a flame in us now. Send your holy fire down. More of your love, more of your power. Send a revival. We need it now. Stir up a fire. Let it burn brighter. Let the flame burn higher, higher, higher. Revive us again. And also speaking of fresh fire from Charisma Magazine, Rod Parsley, I'm taking some excerpts from a devotional. Not only are God's mercies renewed daily, but he wants to refresh our spirits so that we remain overflowing with the Holy Ghost power and anointing. In other words, if the well runs dry, it's not because God's not supplying the well. It's because you're not taking it in. You're not going to the well to get what God's giving. To dwell in the presence of God requires fresh fire every day. So let the Holy Ghost daily purify and prepare you and give you fresh passion for him. Proceed with fresh fire. So there's never a day you don't need fresh fire. Fresh desire, fresh passion. Well, there is, and that's when you're dead. In the ground, 6 feet under. Number five, closing. Proceed flowing in response to the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. So when these signs, not if these signs, Samuel speaking to Saul, when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And it took me a while to see how this fits and what God wants us to hear this morning about proceeding with the revelation we receive. So here it is. Do what you, if you, many of you in your Bible, if you look in the margin, it'll say, do what your hand finds to do. It's not rocket science. God's going to put something before you. He's going to give you something to do. It's not like you have to pray for and fast for days, although that's a good thing. So do what the occasion requires. So do what your hands finds to do, which is your response to the Holy Spirit guidance, power, and provision that will lead you to what it is God's will for you, and he will equip you and embrace you to fulfill his will. He, emphasis on he, will empower you, equip you, and so that you can then fulfill what it is he has for you. As you walk in obedience to the revelation you received and flow with the Holy Spirit, you will, as the occasion requires, be filled up to all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19. And so, pray that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 1:17. And I would encourage you to put verse 17 to 20 also before him and study that, that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened and so forth. For time's sake, we're not going there. And also, speak and pray, and this I am going to read, 1 Corinthians 1, 5 to 9. You know that you can speak the scripture over yourself? Over your wife, over your children, over the ones you love? Absolutely. Speaking this over yourself, over your own life, over your loved ones, that in everything, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 1, you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was, past tense, confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly, here it is, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you to the end, taking you through the process until that great and eventful day of his return. That's what it's referring to. Awaiting eagerly the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So, we need to proceed with the revelation that God gives us, that we receive. God is with you. God is for you. You've been given the privilege of living in such a time as this. God is moving. The tide is coming in. And You need to respond. All of us, a response is required to what God is doing in this hour. To ride the rising tide with him, for him, and for his glory. And there's four words that you need to get out of your life. What are those four words? I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. Because of Christ in you. Not maybe in your own strength and your own abilities, but through the power of the risen Christ. If he gives you something to say, if he gives you something to do, he knows you can do it. You are the man or the woman for the job. So you need to kick fear out the door. You have to kick fear. You know, the scripture, as I'm closing, it doesn't say that you put the enemy under your feet, does it? What does that verse say? It said, he has put the enemy under your feet. Past tense. It's already done. So, stop worrying. Stop having anxiety. Stop fearing. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Proceed with the revelation you receive. It's not that complicated, honestly. The only way it gets complicated is up here, in this 6-inch area right about here. When you try to figure it out, that's where it gets complicated. Because you're not going to. You're going to be confused. Doubt is going to arise. Faith is going to go poof, down the chute. You are it, my friends. You are the ones that God intends to use in this hour. In Worcester County, in your families, in your workplace. You are the ones. It's not somebody else's job. It's not someone else's assignment. It's our assignment. That's why we're here. It's not for the goosebumps. It's not for all the whoo. Wow, wasn't that wonderful? Yeah, it was. And I like it too. But the scripture says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Go in his strength, with his favor, with his love, with his grace and his mercy today. Because the world is dying. The world is hurting. And you have the answer that they need. His name is Jesus. God bless you as you respond in this hour. I'm not saying it's going to be easy.